It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is Brian, joined by John as always. John, how are you doing?
Oh man, it's just another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Brian.
Yeah, it's just another beautiful day to be a Panthers fan. Gotta love it all. So, I hate everything. I feel like there was a little bit of optimism, like, breathed into my soul last week, and then it was just all sent crashing down.
Referring to, like, after the win over the Saints, right?
After the win over the Saints, I actually felt decent about the team because the Saints' defense is really good. It just is. So, and we, as we discussed on our show last week, the Cardinals' defense is not very good. So we thought, oh, the Panthers' offense should do fine this game. Well, they didn't.
Nope. Not even a little bit.
So final score was 26-16 Panthers and
Cardinals.
Sorry. I don't care. I hate everything.
Everybody knows already, but yeah.
Yeah. But so the Panthers started the game off, or I should say the Cardinals started the game off. Defense came through as usual, three and out. Panthers offense weirdly got aggressive. Four plays for 9 yards. On third and one, they had on their own 39. They decided to try a quarterback sneak with Baker Mayfield, which I got to say, that might be one of the most pathetic quarterback sneaks I've ever seen by a Panthers quarterback. It was just terrible. So then it's fourth and one. And they line up and, you know, they have Christian McCaffrey. They have DJ Moore. They have Robbie Anderson. They have a tight end like Tommy Tremble. They have Giovanni Ritchie. All these guys you could probably run with the ball in their hands. Or an outside run with McCaffrey, you know. Now what they did was they ran it up the middle with McCaffrey. So, of course, he got shut down because that's what everybody expected. Luckily, the Panthers' defense came through once again, forced a turnover on downs because the Cardinals then got aggressive. Then the Panthers traded punts with the Cardinals. There was a nice 8-play, 35-yard drive, though. Panthers looked like they were finally getting in gear. And then Tommy Tremble dropped, well, I shouldn't say, so they looked like they were finally getting in gear. Then on first and 10 on the 45, ran the ball with Dante Foreman. Then McCaffrey ran up the middle, lost 2 yards. Then Baker threw a really nice pass to Tommy Tremble, who was pretty open, and Tremble just dropped it. And that's where it really started to get shitty for the offense, but Frankie Louvu, star of the show, turned around on the following drive, picked a pass off for a touchdown. So that's two straight weeks that he's been responsible for a score by the defense. The Cardinals came back following drive, turned it over on downs. Then, once again, the Panthers started to look like they were getting into gear until they tried a reverse
Rashad Higgins.
Yeah, Rashad Higgins. For some reason, I was going to try to call him Johnny Lee Higgins, but that's a Raiders wide receiver from God knows how long ago. So they did a reverse to Higgins where he was supposed to hand it off to DJ Moore. And if you watch the play back, it looked like Moore probably would have gone for a touchdown, if not pretty damn close on the double reverse play. But instead, something happened with Higgins. He didn't take the handoff real well, and he fumbled the ball. That gifted the Cardinals a field goal. So it was 7-3. Then the Panthers once again tried to get a nice drive going. And that was when, unfortunately, Baker Mayfield had a bad pass, a really bad pass to Baker Mayfield, or to DJ Moore, that turned into an interception. Luckily, once again, the defense bailed him out. Panthers get a field goal. It's 10-3 halftime. So we're waiting for the offense to come out and do something. Of course, they don't. Cardinals score after a negative drive by the Panthers to start up the second half. And Panthers, after that scoring drive, come back out. Four plays, 11 yards, punt, of course. Cardinals get a field goal. Now they have the lead in the second half. And that's when it all kind of just spiraled down. After that field goal, Baker threw another interception. Then the Cardinals scored again. Then the Panthers tried to, again, go for it on fourth down to try and get make something happen. And instead, they turned it over on downs. Cardinals score another touchdown. It's 26-10. And as Baker Mayfield will point out to everyone, they still, when the fans started booing and calling for Matt Rhule's head, they still drove down the field and they scored themselves a touchdown to end that game.
Definitely had nothing to do. Yeah, it was all about resilience and not about the Cardinals playing soft to kill clock.
Yep. So, final score, 26-16 Cardinals. Here we are. Offensive woes still a thing 4 weeks into the season.
Yeah, so the Panthers had 220 yards of offense, which is already
bad.
Like, terrible.
Yeah.
Especially now, and the Cardinals coming in were like a bottom two defense, I think. That bottom three, somewhere in like bottom two, bottom three defense in the NFL.
They weren't good.
Coming into the game. Yeah. Maybe even worse. Yeah, somewhere in that area. And they're particularly bad against the pass. And the Panthers, up until essentially garbage time, because I think that last drive started with like 7 minutes on the clock and the Panthers down by 16. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like over, but like. The Cardinals are not playing the same kind of defense, and the Panthers are playing with a different level of urgency. But up until that point, the Panthers generated 146 yards of offense.
Yep.
Which is, cannot be overstated how bad that is against any defense. And then this is against the team that came into Carolina, at home. And it is, like, cannot move the ball against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Like to your saying, like, downs, like, the drives were downs, punt, fumble, interception, field goal in the first half. Like, they're not moving the ball at all, and Baker Mayfield is terrible.
Yeah, and the fact that they keep having him throw the ball 36 times is very frustrating. They only ran the ball 13 times, which I know part of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be fair, like, the run wasn't working either. So
no, the run was
not
working, yeah. But it would probably help if they were a little less predictable running the football. I just don't get it. They just seem to be really gung-ho about running McCaffrey up the middle. It's just very odd.
I don't think the coaching staff is good. Like, I don't, like, that's not a hot take of anything. But, like,
no.
I think part of the problem is that, like, every offense looks watered down and boring when it's executed poorly. Like,
yes.
Like, if, like, I think, like, the Bills' offense is like, wow, like, they're, everything's so crazy, like, players are running open, and look at these concepts, and, like, obviously it's better, and, like, there's nuance to this, but I think part of the scheming looks so bad because it's just so ineffective because of how poor the quarterback plays in particular, and so I think the two factors compound each other, right? Like,
yes.
The offense is not setting up people in positions to, like, play above their, like, abilities or, like, putting mm-hmm. them in positions to succeed necessarily. But
right.
At the same time, the fact that no one is able to, like, execute the things they are being tasked with is making it look much worse. Like, DJ Moore is running open and Baker Mayfield's throwing it behind him and getting the ball tipped up for interceptions. Like, that's, like, can't design plays around that.
No, and the other problem here is Baker just, I don't know what his deal is, but he I know that there were comments about how he likes to smack the ball before he throws it, but the teams are keying in on the fact that they can bat the ball down. Like that's both an issue on Baker and an issue on the coaching staff, because they should be drawing up plays to make defenders tipping the ball down a little less likely to happen. Because that's the bottom line is, you know, when he's having like three or four tip passes in a drive, those are drive killers, you know. You don't normally see that as many as he's seen. It's definitely an anomaly.
I think multiple factors to that. One being like the blocking scheming and stuff like that to create windows for him. And also Baker Mayfield just like the book is out and that he doesn't have, and it's hard to explain this. So, and especially coming because it's going to come from a place of experience, and I obviously do not play NFL football or have any like real football experience. But, my kind of like personal analogy, like I play lots of basketball. I play lots of pickup basketball, and especially when we were in college, I played with my brother all the time, and my brother is taller than me with longer arms than me, and had passes. Like just like basketball passes that he would try to like throw over the top of people get deflected all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Way more than I would. And it has, so it's like, it's not just a physical thing. You're like, oh, he's short, so the ball gets batted down. Like there's a kind of like people have an innate sense of like situational awareness and like physical and spatial awareness of like, I see my target, and but I also can like kind of have a perception of where I need to, like the path that this ball needs to take to get to that target. And I don't think Baker has that, which is like, the problem is I think he's so like all his, and he's always struggled a little bit with anticipation, but I feel like he's just always in such a rush to get the ball out to the target that he has, that he does not kind of sense where his windows are and where his, like the timing of things to get it around or over defenders. It's just like he sees the receiver and he throws the ball in such a way that it would get from him to receiver with no other like defender in the way. And obviously that doesn't work.
Well, part of it too, like I think we're used to Cam Newton, who's obviously a giant man throwing the football, but he could curve the ball. He could throw it at different angles.
Cam got the ball, got knocked down a lot too, though.
Like, yeah, but that's
I remember we talked about all the time, like for a quarterback as tall as he get the ball knocked down all the time, because kind of the same thing where he would laser everything.
Yeah.
And so he would get knocked down the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I don't know. Baker has just frustrated me at this point, because like I understood the arguments back in like week two, even week three. It's like, oh, well, he didn't get enough reps in the preseason, blah, blah, blah. This is week four now, man. Like this team needs to be more prepared. They need to be executing properly. It's kind of just a failure on all levels on the offense. And it's very frustrating because they have a very good defense that is just going to be wasted again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like the story of like Panthers history.
Yeah. But even like, this just feels worse. Like, I mean, Darnold last year, at least his excuse was he was getting beat up constantly. Like Baker's, I don't think he's seen pressure like any more than the norm, maybe in the NFL, you know, like
the Panthers are grading like really well in the ESPN like pass blocking, pass rushing win rate stuff.
Yeah, pass block win rate and PFF has been giving most of their offensive linemen really good grades. Like, you know, I don't always care. I said this last week. I don't always give a shit about one or the other, but when both of them are saying the same thing, you should pay attention to it.
Yeah. So I don't. The offensive line excuse doesn't hold any water. And then like we talked about Darnold last year, like, poor offensive line play does hamper a quarterback, but like good quarterbacks are still good quarterbacks behind bad offensive lines.
Right.
And Baker's a bad quarterback behind a mediocre to good offensive line. So I feel like, I mean, it's still 4 weeks and like, it's not, I mean, I don't know. There's not like the Panthers can do anything about it, but I think we're at the, we're at a time in the season where it's about time to start talking about the next washed-up quarterback that we're going to try. I think we might have said this last week, but I feel like we're fully there. So, like, I don't know. Mitch Trubisky's looking for work again. What do you feel about that?
I mean, at this point, I'm very much just like, throw Darnold out there and see what the fuck happens if Baker can't get his shit together by the time Darnold's healthy. Like,
yeah. I hate that Matt Corral got hurt because this season is quickly spiraling into like, well, we got to try Matt Corral because what else are we going to do? This clearly isn't working.
Yeah, and it's just very sad because Baker just seems like a really good dude, like a good leader. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I like when quarterbacks are pissed off when the media is asking them stupid questions, and that's what he's done. That's what he did. Like, he was getting roasted on Twitter because someone asked him at the press conference, "Oh, well, have you been doing any drills to work on getting the balls being tipped?" And he was basically like, "Yeah, well, if you hear about a drill like that, let me know." Like, I like quarterbacks to do that kind of stuff. I don't like the quarterbacks who go out there and say, "Oh, well, you know, we just got to play better and like." You know, we'll get them next week, on to next week. We're focused on next week. Like, Baker being mad about the fact that they suck is, I like that. But I'm not seeing anything to make me think that they're going to get on track anytime soon. Like, all over Sunday, there were several different instances I can remember where they would have a few good plays in a row where I'd be like, okay, they look like they're getting on track. And then whether it was Tommy Tremble dropping a pass or the stupid fumble by Higgins or the really terrible throw by Baker, like, it just kept happening. It just knocked them out of conjunction. At this point, I don't know when they're going to have that like come to God moment where all of a sudden they'll put together a cohesive, coherent drive when it matters. Cause they put together one good drive against the Browns and it almost won them the game. But really every good drive we've seen from them, scoring drive, has always been in like that fourth quarter, you have to score now situation where like they had so many opportunities. They were up by 7 points in the first half. They had plenty of opportunities to score more points in the first half. They had plenty of opportunities to score in the third quarter. The bottom line is they just need to be more efficient on offense. Like they're on track to run the least amount of plays over the course of a season in like 20 years.
And that's entirely because they just can't stay on the field.
Yeah. And instead of it being about sacks and shit like last year with Darnold, it's their fucking quarterback. It's their quarterback. It's their receivers. Like, you know, I feel bad because I know DJ Moore is a good player, but I know he's not completely entirely not at fault either. Like, it's just very weird. They have a very clear lack of preparation, I think, or concentration. And I know everyone's coming after the coaching staff, but like we said before, at some point, you can't really coach someone to catch the ball. They just got to catch the fucking football.
What I think it is, and this is just a thing that happens in sports, and it happens less often. And I mean, it happens in professional sports too, but it happens. It's like when stuff's going poorly, and it basically when morale is bad, players tend to play worse. Because like, Everybody's frustrated and everybody feels like their moment is the time that they get to fix it. So everybody's trying to do a little too much and everybody's a little too tightly wound when the ball comes their way because they're like DJ Moore's over here and it's just like, oh God, this is the first target in the last four attempts that I actually have a chance to catch. I got to catch this one because I don't know if this is going to happen again, you know? And so I think from like, to the coaching preparation point, to the quarterback play being so bad, to all that other stuff that like the, and then like the lack of success the last couple of years, that it just, no one has a rhythm and no one has any confidence to play their best and to play freely. And so I feel like that is why we're seeing this, like this compounding of mistakes and people making, and just this kind of everybody taking turns making different mistakes because everything is so disjointed and not working that every individual, when they get their chance to try to fix it, is just not in a good headspace to make the plays they need to make.
Yeah.
Also, I'm looking at our drives in terms, and like, we scored one offensive touchdown against the Saints, and it was a 60, what was it? It was the Chenault, the 67-yard pass to Chenault.
Yep.
And then we scored one offensive touchdown against the Giants, and it was a what happened? It was a three play drive. Like, we did not march down the field. And then we had the one offensive touchdown against the Cardinals. and it was at the end of the game when basically garbage time. Like, the Panthers have not put together a touchdown drive, like a legitimate, like, more than three play touchdown drive in a meaningful moment of the game since week one.
Yeah, that one drive you're talking about, DJ, with the DJ Moore touchdown against the Giants. One throw for 29 yards to Moore. Baker ran for 17 yards, and there was an illegal contact penalty, and then Baker to Moore for 16 yards.
Yeah,
so like, that was three good plays in a row.
Yeah, so even in the Browns, like in the Browns game, there was, we had the 175-yard play, the 75-yard pass to Robbie Anderson that kept the game alive, but we had an 11-play, 75-yard drive that spanned the third and fourth quarter against the Browns. That is the only, like, multiplay. Well, there was two drives in that game. We've had two drives that were more than three plays this season that resulted in touchdowns, other than before the garbage time touchdown against Cardinals in
right.
four games. That's less than one per game.
Yep.
Like, yeah, the really offense bad. Is broken, badly broken.
Yeah, I don't really know what you can do to fix it aside from just get a new quarterback in there, because there's just, I don't know. I hate to be like that, because I really want to give Baker a chance, but watching that game on Sunday just really infuriated me.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Baker is there are so many things wrong that it's not like there's one thing that's holding him back that we can be like, oh, he just got to, like, take care of the ball better, or, you know, we got to fix the batted passes thing. It's like, his accuracy is bad, his decision making's bad, he's holding the ball too long, his footwork is bad. Like, it's just a failing across the board. And I don't think there's anything you could point to in the way he's playing right now and say it's even, like, at a satisfactory level.
No.
Like, it's not like if we were to grade him on a, like, 5 or 6 point scale or whatever, you could say, like, he's doing two things well enough, even if, like, are satisfactory, and four things poorly. I think he's, like, F's across the board. Like, no C's and D's or anything. But to what we've been saying, the alternative is Sam Darnold, so I don't know. I'm not, like, beating down the door for that change to be made. I mean, he can't come. He's not ready anyway, but...
No, I mean, at this point, it's either him or P.J. Walker, and... I like PJ, but I don't think he's gonna do any better. Yeah. And PJ's prone to really stupid decisions too.
Walker's fun, but he's not good.
He tries to throw at least two interceptions a game.
Yeah.
I think it just is what it is. But I'm very right. like, you guys know me on this show. I've always been very patient. I know, like, I try to be patient, I try to be unbiased. Like, when fans are calling for the heads of people like Matt Rhule and Phil Snow and, you know, like, Derek Brown and Colin Jones and Brenton Burson, you know, I try to be very fair and patient with them, give them a chance to really, like, try to show their merits, try to be optimistic. I just can't do that anymore with Baker. I can't. Like, yeah. I haven't seen enough promising things from him. Like, because for all those good drives that you mentioned, all two of them, or three of them, Sam Darnold had those too, behind a much worse offensive line. Like, Sam,
right.
Sam still had good drives as a quarterback. He just had way too many of those "what the fuck are you doing, Sam" plays. Like, so I don't know. I mean, I hope rather than trade away assets to try and get a veteran quarterback, I just think you mail it in this season and be done with it. Obviously, Matt Rhule's trying to save his job, so I don't know. They might try to go trade for somebody, but I'd very much prefer them just to let Sam Darnold in there and play. Maybe it'd do Baker some good to sit out for a few games just to, you know, not be constantly under the microscope of all these angry Panthers fans and the media and stuff for a few weeks. But I don't know. On the plus side, the defense is really good.
I did have a couple things before we
go ahead. Sorry.
Good thing.
Go ahead. Yep.
Two things. One, the people that are, like, calling for Matt Rhule to be fired, like, yesterday, makes no sense to me. Like, I totally understand if you're like, yep, this Matt Rhule thing is not working and it's time to go in a different direction. But firing him now does nothing. Like, what are we going to do? It's the middle of the season.
You're quitting on the season is what you're doing. Like,
which is fine. Like, we're going to, the season's going to be a failure anyway, in all likelihood. I mean, obviously there's a chance you can turn it around and, but not a high one.
But look, let's get in the real world for a second. Just to stop on that point. How many times does a team fire their head coach and they make the playoffs after that? It's so fucking rare.
Right. So, right. My assumption is that the people that want Matt Rhule fired are also writing the season off as a loss and expecting to bring in a new staff and all that, like, overhaul the team next year, which is fine. But, like, why fire him now? Like, what are you winning? You're just, like, satiating some, like, desire for the guy to be, like, wronged, or so you can, like, rub it in his face or laugh at him because you dislike him for whatever. Like, I get it. I get that it's frustrating how bad the team is performing, but, like, firing a coach midseason doesn't do anything. The only thing I can see is that, like, someone like Sean Payton is out there and he's not on a team right now, but, like, Sean Payton's not going to take a job in the middle of the season.
Not only that, but a guy like Sean Payton, you're going to have to trade assets for him, which you're not doing till next year anyway.
Right.
But yeah, the only message that firing a head coach like that does is it basically tells the locker room, hey, we're done with this season.
Yeah.
And you just can't do that. Like, I know us fans are kind of to the point of, like, lamenting even watching the games, but these players are paid good money to go out there and play football and try to put on an entertaining game for us. So they can't afford to be like, you know what, the season's over, because then that's how they lose their jobs. So regardless of whether you think that Matt Rhule should be fired and these players shouldn't be sticking up for him and blah, 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 they can't afford to do that. And granted, I know it's obviously it's like, oh, well, these guys are making millions of dollars. Who the fuck cares? But it's just the reality as a professional. Like, you can't afford to quit on your job. You just can't.
Right. It makes no sense to me. I don't know what we're trying to accomplish with that other than just, like, I don't know, it just this instant gratification of, like, ha, he got fired. It's like, okay, now what? The other thing before we talk about the defense, because I want to kind of keep, it's kind of more to do with the offense. While we're talking about my pet peeves with sports fandom, people that boo the home team when they're playing poorly suck. if there's something that they're doing wrong and you boo, that's fine. But, like, Baker Mayfield knows he's playing terribly. The offense knows they're playing terribly. Do you know what doesn't help them play better? Having 70,000 people yell at them that they're playing terribly. Like, all that does is makes people mad. All that does is makes people frustrated. That does not help anything. It creates this tension. Now we got, like, Baker Mayfield, like, making snippy comments about the fans in his media in the press conference, and everybody just dislikes each other, and, like, it's dumb. It, again, to the same point as the firing the coach in the middle of the season, like, it's just pointless, and all it does is creates unnecessary strife in a situation that is already poor. Like, yep. I'm not saying, like, go out there, or, like, no one. I'm not saying pretend like everything's fine, but, like, boo, like, just let them walk off the field silently. And when Baker Mayfield gets his fourth pass in a row batted down and the punt team goes out there, just let it go. Like,
yeah.
Booing Baker Mayfield is not going to make him throw his next pass better, but he's not going to, like, go home and be like, I thought I was playing really well, but then the crowd started booing and I reflected and maybe it wasn't going as well as I thought. Like, he already knows. Everyone knows. When you boo the part of the home field advantage is the support of your fans. You don't, booing them is not, they don't owe you playing well.
Yeah, like, if they
watch the game, they're trying. Like, they're trying to play well. Like, and that's all that you can ask them to do.
When Matt Rhule decides to punt the ball on 4th and 4 on the opponent's 40, go ahead and boo then. That's a stupid decision. Yeah, right. But when Baker's getting blasted by the defensive line or his receivers are dropping passes, booing them does not help. Yeah, I agree.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, boo bad decisions, boo people doing things that are dumb. Like, booing poor play makes me mad. Like, it's not helping anything.
Agreed.
So now we can talk about the defense because they're good.
Yeah, at least the defense is good. I'll start it off with the bad news. Jeremy Chinn's on IR.
Yeah, that's
that sucks. They do have Justin Burris, though. That's my guy. So he'll be playing as safety. But yeah, I mean, the defense is good. I really liked, J.C. Horn's a monster, obviously. Frankie Louvu, again, a monster, tooting our own horn there.
Yep.
I really like all around what the linebackers have been doing. Like, the linebackers were expected to be the weakness of the team, but even like Corey Littleton, Shaq Thompson, Damian Wilson. Yeah, he even like all four of those guys have been playing fine on a position that was supposed to be a major weakness on this roster.
Right.
Props to Miles Hartsfield as well, man. He really stepped up on Sunday. He had that one play against one of the Cardinals tight ends. I want to say it might have been Ertz, but caught it right before the first down. Like, it was like a third and short situation right before the first down. Tight end versus a tiny guy like him. Now, granted, he's built like Steve Smith, but Miles Hartsfield fucking stoned him, got him, stopped him short of the first down. Major props. I really like that guy.
Yeah, he's coming to his own over his time here. Like, not like otherworldly in terms of like talent or athleticism or anything, but like, he's just like a grinder. It feels
athletically,
like
he scored pretty well, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I mean, in terms of, he's not like a wow player. I'm sure he's an athletic player because that's kind of the MO. But I mean, in terms of like, he's not a wow guy on the field that blows you away with like, aside from just like, he just kind of like makes plays that are like gritty. And like you said, like laying hits on people and just kind of popping up in places when teams need him to, when the team needs him to. And just kind of like being a jack of all trades type of, like, he's almost like a utility, like a backup, like utility infielder in baseball.
So, fun fact, his relative athletic score is, this is looking at last year's squad, but his relative athletic score is third behind Brian Burns and JC Horn.
So he's very athletic.
9.34.
Pretty athletic.
So yes, he's very athletic.
So I guess I should say he's athletic, but he doesn't like, I feel like his position is not well defined. He's just like a really good athlete that just kind of like,
well, they play him wherever they need him to. He's kind of like, he's kind of like a poor man's, who is it that the Eagles traded for from the Saints?
From the Saints.
Yeah. He was the guy who was playing nickel corner for them. And that then ended up being a safety. Oh, that's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. That's it. He's kind of like poor man's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, because they can put him in the nickel, they can put him in safety, and he does all of them well. Do I think he's going to be a Pro Bowl level player like him? No, but he's a really useful piece to have in a secondary. Like,
that's what. Yeah, he's like I said, he's like a utility infielder in baseball. Like, he can do a little bit of everything. And just kind of like, he's a guy that everybody wants to have, like, filling out depth. Like, he's not somebody that's going to be like starter level, like write him in as a starter and pin in any one position, but he can like fill in and rotate in everywhere.
I'd say he's pretty much their starting nickel corner at this point. But yeah, I agree. Just major props
Jackson,
to
CJ Henderson and JC Horn.
Well, but Henderson doesn't play every snap. Jackson really doesn't either. But regardless, I think we're debating something that's dumb anyway. But I just got to give props to the coaching staff, even though we've been ripping on them. Miles Hartsfield, Frankie Louvu, both very, very good pickups by them. Like, low risk guys that they found, you know, for very, very cheap over the last couple of years. Very good players. So I got to give them props. I mean, at least they can find some fucking gems for the way they do want to play defense. It's just a shame that the offense is such shit.
Yeah. Defensively. Yeah, they are. Offensively. Yeah. Not as much.
Yep. So, but yeah, big props to the defense. I mean, they did everything they could in that game. Unfortunately, they fell to the curse on Matt Rhule, where if the other team scores 17 points, you lose. So,
I love that curse, because it really just means like your offense can't score.
Yeah, and it's consistent.
You only win when your defense holds the other team to like no points.
Yeah, yeah. When your
also,
team holds.
I want to, on the dumb argument, I just want to stand corrected. I didn't realize Hartsfield played 95% of snaps on.
I told you, John. I don't know where you're, I don't know where this hate for Miles Hartsfield's coming from.
There's no hate for Miles Hartsfield. I just haven't, like, I didn't.
I feel like I'm sitting here defending Colin Jones again.
No, it was just a name that I didn't notice. I didn't realize he had played as much as he did.
So I noticed him last year, and he had the best game of the season of his season by far against Tom Brady. And ever since then, I've had a little had my eye on him, and he's definitely caught my eye. I really hope that even if they clean house, they keep him around with Frankie Louvu, because those are guys that can do a lot for your defense. Louvu will obviously stick around. He's basically a bargain at this point.
He's like turning into like a core piece too.
Yeah.
He's all, and the similar thing, right? Like the versatility, like Frankie Louvu playing like rushing the passer and like playing middle linebacker and doing whatever.
And setting the edge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that guy is a monster in run blocking. It's amazing watching him like just square. He'll just like stone a fucking offensive tackle. And I'm just like, God damn, like a linebacker doesn't usually do that. So yeah, but defense is good. It's a shame that they have to play with this offense, but we'll see if they can get their shit together. But I'm not going to lie to you, John. I'll say, is there anything else you wanted to touch on about the defense before we move on?
No. I think it's there's a really easy transition point earlier, and that I couldn't use, but we'll use it now. If you remember earlier, you said something about hopefully the offense gets back on track, and I was like,
yeah. Well,
probably won't be this week.
Yeah, no, not at all. At least it's in Carolina, so that helps a little. But even though the fans,
I don't know if that helps at all.
Yeah, I guess the fans will just boo the shit out of them, won't they? But
I know we're playing according to the Football Outsiders DVOA, the 49ers have the best defense in the NFL. And to like compound that, the one thing the Panthers do kind of well on offense, which is run the ball with Christian McCaffrey, that's the 49ers are the best in the league at that, and they're fourth against the pass.
They're in the top three in pretty much every fucking defensive stat you can be.
Yes.
And the sad part is it's not like they've played bad teams either. Like, they played the Rams 1 week. yeah, they played the Rams last week. They held the fucking Super Bowl champions to 9 points. They played the Broncos, which granted Russell Wilson just sucks this year. That's one of my new fantasy teams, by the way. It was the original aim for the team was Faker Mayfield, which maybe I should have kept, but then I lost two straight games and my quarterback was Russell Wilson. And so my team's name now is just Russell Wilson sucks, because he's been terrible in fantasy, but yeah.
He's been terrible in real life too. Yeah.
Yeah. He just kind of all around sucks. But anyway, they held the Broncos to 11 points. Sadly, only their offense could score 10 points. Then week two, they played the Seahawks, who have been a juggernaut, by the way, on offense. Surprisingly,
because they got rid of Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Now they're letting Geno cook.
So to summarize, the Bears game, I'm just going to write off because it was week one, and also they're playing in like a downpour, and they had some turnovers.
And the Bears offense is about as sad as ours is.
Well, that was also the offense that scored the most points of anybody against them this year. But the last three games, the 49ers have given up 27 points.
Total. God damn. I like our offensive line, but I am not not looking forward to that game.
Yeah. I don't know how to spin this at all. Like positively, and it's funny because the 49ers are only 2-2 because their offense has been not great, but their defense has been better than our, like, their defense, as good as our defense has been, the 49ers is better, and their offense cannot be worse than ours. So
it might have been worse if Trey Lance was still their quarterback, but Jimmy G is at least passable. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. They took the swing with Trey Lance, hoping that he would like elevate them, and maybe he would have. Like, it's hard to really like judge him because of the weather that he played in week one. But
it also helps that,
yeah.
It also helps that their offense is basically quarterback proof because they run the ball so well with Kyle Shanahan's offense, and they have Debo Samuel, and they have Brandon Ayuk, and they have George Kittle. So yeah, we might be kind of fucked, John.
I Jewett's crazy. This makes no sense to me. ESPN's football power index, like matchup predictor, has the percentage at 51-49, basically, in favor of the 49ers.
Wow.
I don't know. I need to know where they're getting their numbers from. Because, I mean, What are the Panthers going to do? Like, the only way the Panthers have a chance is if they hit like a random big play or two, and then the defense, like the Panthers are 1-1 in their last two games, and they've scored a defensive touchdown. Like, the Panthers got blown out after scoring a defensive touchdown. Like, defensive touchdowns are supposed to like to drastically increase your chances of winning a game.
Oh, I'm so sad. I'm looking at the Niners defense now, and Samson Ebukam. I can't say I've ever heard of him, but Javon Kinlaw and Eric Armstead and Nick Bosa are the other starters along the defensive line. Holy fucking shit! Like, and Fred Warner is apparently one of the best linebackers in the NFL too. So
yeah, Nick Bosa's leading the league in sacks.
Yep.
By the way, just a little quick side note. You know who's second in the league in sacks?
Joey Bosa?
No.
Brian Burns?
Alex Highsmith.
Oh no.
Do you know where Alex Highsmith went to school?
No.
UNC Charlotte. Go Niners.
Anyway. Oh, good.
Different kind of Niners. the Niners that we like.
You just had to plug the UNC Charlotte, didn't you?
I did. I mean, it's cool. We have a good pass rusher. But
nice.
but yeah, the 49ers, to your point earlier, they're first in the league in points per game allowed. They're second in the league in yards per game allowed. They are second in the league in passing yards allowed per game, and they are second in total yards allowed per game. And like I said, to start this kind of segment, they are first in DVOA in terms of defense. So I'm not seeing any weaknesses to exploit there.
No, I mean, this might just be a bloodbath. This might be the game where Baker gets knocked out for a few games, because this could be ugly.
Even if
they commit to running the football, they may not be able to, and at that point, they're going to have to throw the football. So,
I mean, yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing we can do, man.
Yeah, this might just be one of those games where you just hope to see a game that's watchable.
I gave my mom what might be the worst birthday present of all time, and that's a ticket to this Panthers game.
Oh my God, you're a horrible son. What have you done?
I know. So, she likes going to the games, and I will for sure be texted being like, "This game sucks." Like,
why did you do this to me, son? Like, I only gave birth to you, John.
Right, and then I feel like, but the thing is, the Panthers winning, I feel like the only way the Panthers win this game is if it is an even if they win, it's going to be boring. Like, there's no way the Panthers win an entertaining game against the
Panthers. No, I mean, I would be down for a 2013 remake where we get the like 12-9 win. I'd be happy with that. Like, even if the Panthers lose, I'd be happy with that. As long as it's not the Niners beating the fucking shit out of the Panthers. That's the only thing I don't want to see.
No, so my... Man, this is a terribly pessimistic show. My vision for how this game goes is that it's like 7-3 at halftime or something, or like 6-3 at halftime.
Yep.
Yeah, we like turn the ball over or we give up a touchdown, and I feel like basically I'm recapping the Cardinals game. Like, we're gonna keep it close, and it's gonna be low scoring, and then it's just gonna unravel in the second half. Like, we're gonna get behind, and once we get behind and we have to try to like be way more predictably go to Baker Mayfield in the passing game, the 49ers are just gonna tee off and everything's gonna fall apart.
I'll pretend that this game might be competitive. Let me give you the scenario where it could be. JC Horn needs to be all over Deebo Samuel. When I say all over him, I mean all over him, following him everywhere. Whether he goes in the backfield, whether he's motions across the field, whether he goes to the slot, he needs to be in his fucking face pressing him. That's where I could see the defense being successful, because the good news is that the Niners are not as much of a power rushing offense. They're more of a zone rushing offense. And I think this Panthers defense is done relatively well against the teams where they're not just running it down their throats, you know, like the Browns approach. So they're just like, here's Nick Chubb, we're going to run him right at your linebackers, see if you can tackle him.
Right.
So I think that's where we can see some success. And I mean, DJ, I don't see a reason why DJ Moore couldn't beat the cornerbacks the the Niners have if the offensive line can hold up. So, yeah, that's about as optimistic.
You're being very convincing right now.
Well, I mean, McCaffrey can obviously change a game overnight. We haven't seen that in a while, but he can change a game very quickly. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Panthers made this more competitive than we expect, but my expectation is, much like the last time the Panthers faced the 49ers, to be like, God, just end the game after halftime. That's my expectation. So.
It's super convincing argument that I think the Panthers are going to be
competitive. I'm doing my best, John. I mean, that's... You're lucky you're not getting me just being like, I'm not even going to fucking watch this game. Fuck the Panthers. Fuck Matt Rhule. You're getting me trying, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, would we like to get on to score predictions?
Yeah, I just forgot how badly things went the last time we played the 49ers.
Yeah, that was a real bad game, John. That was terrible.
In case anyone forgot, because I sure did, in 2019, with Kyle Allen as starting quarterback, the Panthers lost to the 49ers 51-13.
And the best part about that game was that everyone was hyping it up to be a meeting of two playoff contenders.
Yeah, because the Panthers were 4-2 at the time, coming off their bye week. The Panthers had won 4 in a row, led by the whatever you would call the Kyle Allen experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out of the bye week and we're like, team's hot. And that started a spiral that ended up with the Panthers winning one of their last.
Team's hot. Christian McCaffrey's MVP candidate. Their defense is great. Oh, we were wrong about that, baby.
Man, boy, did the wheels fall off there.
That game was really tough to watch.
So hopefully that doesn't happen again.
I'm just praying that doesn't happen again. That's all I'm worried about. Before we get into our actual score predictions, so just to go recap the records here, the random number generator actually picked wrong last week. So the random number generator is 2-2.
Yeah, it's fallen off.
So I am currently 2-2, and John is currently 1-3.
Because I pick the Panthers every week, and that's the Panthers record. But we're changing that this week.
You're damn right we are. So what is all? Do you want to go first, or should I give mine first?
I'll give mine first. We're gonna go with 49ers, 26, Panthers 7.
Okay. I thought you were gonna pick the Panthers on that one. Okay. I thought when you said 49, I thought that was your first score, and I was like, Jesus Christ, John.
No, 26-7. It's bad. I feel like it's gonna go 7 poorly.
49ers. I'll go with 17-3 49ers.
No faith in the Panthers' offense at all.
I don't know
why we would, but...
Yeah, I mean, if there's ever a game to get right, this is the one, but...
So it's strange to me, too, because, like, again, I don't want to, like, make this sound like we're hyping up the 49ers to be some, like, really good team, because, again, they're only 2-2. But the 49ers have allowed 9 points per game, again. Like I said earlier, they've allowed 9 points per game defensively in their last three games, and the Panthers are averaging a little over 15 points a game on all, but that's with two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah,
in those games. So, like, if we take away those 14 points, they scored 30. They're scoring just over 10 points per game on offense in the last three games. So, the Panthers' offense is the equivalent of teams playing against the 49ers.
Yes,
and so, like, when you compound the two together, the Panthers are. But what I'm saying is the Panthers are going to score 4.5 points. So I'm giving them
4.5 points.
I'm giving them a pretty fair shot saying they're going to score 7.
What does the random number generator say, John?
We're going to click it a few times, and it says 18 for the Panthers and 13 for the 49ers.
Oh my God. The RNG's picking up Panthers miracle. Let's fucking go. I'd be happy to be wrong about this week.
Yeah, same.
But the RNG's also on a cold streak right now.
Right. So. fading the RNG right now. The other thing to this, though, where I was starting to go this direction and I sidetracked myself, I don't understand why it's, I guess, the 49ers offense would be the reason it's down so low. But, like, the 49ers are favored by 6.5, which I guess is a pretty significant spread for a road team. What's funny to me is the over-under is 39, which is, it's very weird seeing an over-under in the 30s for an NFL game.
Yeah, that is weird.
They're usually in like the mid to high. I mean, but the games have been low scoring in general this year. But they're usually in like the mid to high 40s, sometimes in the 50s. A over under of 39 in a sunny 75 degree day in October.
Speaking
says
of
a lot
over,
about the teams playing.
Yeah. Speaking of over or under, just a fun little fact last week. So I was feeling particularly fucking pessimistic, and luckily, well, not unluckily, I was feeling too pessimistic. Let me tell you the bets that I made.
Okay.
Fuck off.
Hey man. It's not nice.
No, it's not you. This it just doesn't want to log in for some reason. Oh come the fuck on. Why won't you log in? What is going on here? Okay, well, let me see if I get okay, so here's what I predict. This is what I bet for. I bet the under on Baker Mayfield for passing yards. I bet the under on Christian McCaffrey for rushing yards. I bet anytime touchdown scorer on Hollywood Brown. Hit all four of those.
Okay.
The thing I didn't hit on was I bet the under on DJ Moore for yards. DJ Moore unfortunately went over on them. So I almost made $700 last week and DJ Moore fucked me.
Just betting all. Was it a parlay?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just betting all anti-Panthers bets too.
Yeah, it was all anti-Panthers bets, and I just thought, well, DJ Moore hasn't been able to catch a fucking cold from Baker Mayfield.
How low was his over under? Because he only had 50 yards.
40 yards.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
We're approaching a point where Baker Mayfield's over under in passing yards in a game is gonna be like 100. Like, yeah. Will Baker Mayfield hit triple digits in passing yards?
I wanna say his under was like 200.
Yeah, I'm smashing that under all day long if that's the
yeah, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm doing that. I've watched way too many Panthers games where the quarterback throws for 150 yards. Fuck yeah, give me that.
The only way that he threatens that is if he throws a check down to, like, Christian McCaffrey, who runs 80 yards from that point.
That's how it's going to happen. LaVisca Chenault's going to fuck some people over. But anyway, anything else we want to touch on before we move on to what might be a miserable weekend?
No, I just, I hope that the people listening, like, find solace in the kind of, like, conversation about the Panthers in this kind of, like, gallows humor type of way. Because I want to be genuine and not try to fluff the team up as, like, we're right there, you know, like, the Matt Rhule press conferences, like, we're so close, we just gotta, like, stop losing games all the time, like we have for 2 years now.
We just gotta stop being bad at football.
Yeah. So, you know, we're all in this together. Like, kudos to anyone sticking it out and still, like, consuming Panthers content right now, because I know it's not fun to, like, it's like, whenever something good happens, you want to go, like, scour the internet to, like, read every piece of news that's like hyping up your team that you can, and right when things are this poor, and then it's the opposite, like the game ends and you just like turn your TV off and like don't think about the Panthers for the next whatever 7 times 24 hours is. And so like kudos for listening to the show still, and hopefully it brings you some brings everybody some solace in how bad of a season it's been so far.
If it makes any of you feel any better as well, I live in Eagles country, so every day I have to come into work on Monday after the Panthers games, and they're like, oh, look at that, the Eagles are winning. Oh, how'd the Panthers do this weekend? And I'm like, go fuck yourself, Joe.
Yeah.
Go yeah. Fuck yourself. But yeah, I agree with John's mindset on it. Like, we're just trying to have a good time, even though it's a bad time this year. We hope that we do this to entertain you guys. We do this to have fun, so... it's a good time regardless of how bad the Panthers are. And it's been a really long time since I've felt just this, what's the word I'm looking for?
Apathetic.
Yeah, apathetic. That's the exact word, where I've just cared so little about them. I almost just didn't get on the show today, but you know, it's fun. We have a good time. We have a good time talking, breaking stuff down. So thanks for tuning in and sticking with us with all this. Hopefully something positive will happen soon and we can be happy again, like when the Panthers beat the Saints. So from all of us here at the Keep Sounding Podcast, this is Brian joined by John as always. Stay tuned, stay safe, stay healthy, and hopefully we'll catch you next week.
See ya.